I talked about the fact that we came up with a preaching plan, and one of the suggestions was that we look at some of the stories in the Bible, and the phrase we used was where people have dummy spits towards God. And this is a famous story of a dummy spit towards God. We didn't want to call the series that, so just forget I said that. But this idea about people arguing with God or running away from God, and that was certainly a Jonah story, to run away from God. Jonah, in fact, flees God's call. God said to him, you have to go to the city of Nineveh and give a message. And Jonah says, I'm not. And he's not the first one to do it. So there's other people who have refused God's call, among them Moses and Elijah and Isaiah. So for Jonah, he jumped on a boat. And it didn't go well. The journey wasn't great. There was a massive storm. The sailors were terrified. And so they actually cast lots to find out what the problem is. And in casting the lots, it seems that Jonah's the problem. So even though they realise Jonah's the problem, the sailors still try and get out of there, and they start rowing to try and escape. It's no good. And then Jonah says to them, well, just throw me overboard then. And they say, all right, we will. And they did. So he's still fleeing God's call, right? He hasn't turned around. The storm hasn't made him turn around. And he even made others complicit in what he was doing. He didn't volunteer to jump. He said, you know what, throw me overboard. Anyway, so he spends 3 days in the big fish, and then he's vomited onto dry land. And then he thinks, well, maybe I will go and deliver that message after all. And if you read, it's only a very short book, and if you read it, there's a big long psalm in there, a prayer that he prays to God. And so then he goes to Nineveh and he preaches to the city. And the people actually repent. Even the king himself repents. And he says to the people, we're turning back to God. And so God relents. That is, God changes his mind. And Jonah is angry at this. He's angry that God has changed his mind. He's angry that they're not going to be destroyed. And so he goes and sits on a hill, hoping to see the city punished. And then there's this conversation, the one that Nikki read to us, this kind of self-pitying anger at God that things haven't worked out. God provides a vine for him, but then God also destroys the vine, and that just makes Jonah angrier. Now, when I was thinking about this story, of course, the other contrast to this story is another story about someone who had their whole life taken away by God, and that is, of course, the story in the book of Job, which lots of you will have heard about as well. And there's actually a real contrast between these two people. So Job, who is unrelentingly faithful, and then there's Jonah, who's unrelentingly petulant, right? He just keeps getting angry. He just keeps getting angry and not doing. He's basically angry because God's compassionate, which seems a weird thing to do. Now, it's a bit surprising when you read the story, and if you want to read it later, you'll see that the psalm is really nice, right? He says, I cried out to God, and God delivered me. And so that's what makes it even more of a surprise when he's angry because God chooses to deliver the Ninevites. And so in these two stories, there is a contrast here. See, Jonah avoids God's call. And even with the storm, he does not say, I'll go back. He avoids God's call until he is caught and saved by the fish. Now, Jesus actually talks about this story in Matthew's Gospel. He talks about it. And in fact, when Jesus talks about this story, he actually holds Nineveh up as a model of repentance. Jonah's not the hero in the story. When Jesus talks about it, he holds up Nineveh as a model of repentance that rebukes his generation. And if you wanted a parallel story in the New Testament, it would really be the story of the prodigal son, where Nineveh is the prodigal son who returns, and Jonah is the older brother in that story who gets sooky because the father is so compassionate. So we might ask ourselves, what does this story tell us about God? Well, it tells us some things about God. It tells us that God persevered with Jonah, that God persevered with Nineveh, and that God was unrelenting in his call for obedience. But God relents when it comes to punishment. This idea in 3:10 that God changed his mind. Now, this is a very short story. If you look at the Bibles that we have in the baskets, you can see, just you don't even have to turn a page to read the whole story. But it's generated this whole corpus of literature about it when people are trying to work out what do we do with this story? How do we understand it? Is it history? Is it a wisdom tale? Is it a parable? Is it folklore? Or is it all of that? I mean, you can choose. You can decide what you think it is. But what we would say is that it contains God's truth. As Christians, we believe all scripture is God-breathed, don't we? And then what we believe that God's truth is contained in all of scripture. But at the same time, we would say that there are elements in this story that are hard to understand. So what are we to make of it? What are we to make of this story, which to me doesn't have a proper ending? It just stops with God asking Jonah a question. What are we to do with Jonah? I think Jonah is not a hero in this story. I don't know if you kind of picked that up. He's not a model of Christian behaviour, right? In fact, I'd say he's an anti-hero and probably a pretty unlikable guy. He seems self-absorbed, he seems self-righteous, and he seems unself-reflective. The story finishes with him on a hill, enjoying his anger, facing God's question. And in fact, God's questions hang in the air. And so we need to pay attention to what God says when he speaks, because God asks Jonah the same question. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And then in verse 9, he says, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" So somehow this story is about anger. It's about anger. We know that because Jonah says, "I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." He says to God, "I knew this would be the problem all along. I said this to you when I was at home. I knew that you are gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents." That's the problem. And so there he is, sitting on a hill, grumpy and angry. God asks Jonah about his own anger. He doesn't say to Jonah that you shouldn't be angry. He actually asks him about it. If you like, this is a question about the ethics of anger. Is it right? Is our anger right? Is Jonah's anger right? Now remember, we're told in this story that God, Yahweh, is slow to anger. Actually, there's a funny phrase that describes God's anger in 3 verse 9. The literal translation is burning of his nostrils, which they interpret as anger. I don't know if you've ever had it. I was going to tell you a story about peeling a chili and then, you know, have you ever done that? And then, anyway, burning of his nostrils, anger, right? That's anger. So at some level, this is a story about anger and about anger towards God. And there's other meanings too, right? There's other things, and that doesn't negate other sermons you've heard about it, about what we learn from Jonah refusing God's call or what we learn about God's compassion. But at some level, this is a story about anger. Now, we did talk about emotions last week, for those of you who are here, and we talked about Jesus and his righteous anger. But this story really focuses on unrighteous anger. I mean, what makes us angry? Do you have a right to be angry? How do you respond when angry? Do you respond differently as a Christian? We were building our house down at Torwoods, and I was actually putting up some cabinetry, and I had to put up a wall, a sheet of melamine, just to cover up a downpipe inside. And so I had to put a little aluminium angle on our tiled floor. And our tiles were really, really hard tiles. And I'm drilling away to screw this little bit of angle in to fasten the melamine to. And it was so hard, and I was pressing too hard, and I bent my drill bit, right? And so then I had the wrong size bit for the wall plugs I had. And anyway, it took me just ages and ages and ages. And then I put the aluminium little angle on, screwed it on, finally got it fixed, went up to put the sheet of metal on, and I'd actually put it round the wrong way. And I was angry. I was angry. And I said some things very loudly. I said some things. And I realised as soon as I said them that my neighbours had been out in the back garden and they had gone silent. Now, I will say that I didn't yell out any swear words. But I didn't yell out any flattering words either as I addressed that sheet of aluminium. How do you respond when you're angry? What do you say? What does it look like? How do you respond to circumstances, to life, to things that don't go your way? I mean, that's what this other, much longer wisdom tale is about, the book of Job. It's about Job's character and his refusal to be angry at God. In fact, we find in the early chapters of that his wife says to him, because remember, his wife has lost everything, not just Job, his wife has lost everything as well. She says, according to the translations of our Bibles, curse God and die. Although when I looked that up, I actually found out that the Hebrew word is bless God and die, which confused me. That's another sermon for another time. But is there anger towards God when our plans and hopes, whether selfish or selfless, disappear before our eyes? And that is the question. It was God's question for Jonah, and it's a question for us. What have we to say on displeasure at God's choices? Is our response self-indulgent anger or self-righteousness? Angry at the cards we've been dealt really means being angry at God. How do we respond? You see, this could have been a vastly different story. The headline to this story could have been Merciful God Relents. Right? That could have been the headline here. Or Nineveh's Great Repentance. Because that's in the story too, isn't it? This great repentance of a whole city. That's certainly how Jesus saw it, right? But instead, it's a story of Jonah's anger. So how might the story change if we would imagine the story differently? Well, for the story to be different, we'd need Jonah to change. We'd need him not to be angry Jonah. So what descriptor would we put in front of that? If he wasn't angry Jonah, what would he be? What would change the story? And I think what would change this story is humble Jonah. Humble Jonah. I think that's how the story changes. That's what's missing. Because, in fact, humility is the antidote to anger. Humility is the antidote to anger. Now, psychologists tell us the same thing. There's lots of studies on this, that there's a strong correlation between greater humility and less anger. Now, humility is a bit tricky. Remember that song from the early 80s? Some of you weren't born then, but anyway, in the early 80s, there was a song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day." Humility is a hard thing. I'm really great at being humble, so we don't talk about it a lot. But the thing that matters to us as Christians is humility is an antidote to anger. I mean, we follow the king who rode the donkey, who washed his friends' feet, who hung out with outcasts, who sought the company not of rulers, but of sinners. So humility is a Christian virtue. It always has been. But we need to think rightly about it. C.S. Lewis once said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." Right? True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Christian humility is not saying I'm worthless, but rather it's saying I'm not at the centre. It's not about me. This story wasn't about Jonah. This story was about a great repentance and a compassionate God. It's about God, his compassion, his world and his good news. True humility is not downplaying ourselves, making ourselves small, but rather it's opening ourselves up to others' ideas, others' needs, others' frames of reference. For Jonah was opening himself up to God's frame of reference. And that's really how the only way I can understand this strange ending to this story. It finishes with God asking Jonah a question. What about Nineveh? What about the 120,000 people? What about the animals? Think about them. Humility means we don't put ourselves at the centre of every story. Humility is to lift our eyes to the heavens, to turn our hearts to the hurting. God asks this question of Jonah. He says, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? You see, pursuing humility is the road to holiness, as well as the antidote to anger. Pursuing humility opens ourselves to others. We decenter ourselves. We open our hearts to God and to His compassion. We need humility. We need humility. Look, I know I've talked about emotions last week and this week. I've talked about anger both times. And it seems like I'm fixated on it, right? I'm not, I promise. The sermon next week won't be on anger. But I see so much anger in the world around me. I see anger in families. I see anger in relationships. I see anger across the political divide. And the antidote to that is humility. I mean, yesterday I went to, some of you may have seen it on our email newsletter, the Anglicans had organised a forum on family violence. And they had a guest speaker who spoke very well about it. There were some really important ideas she had about this. And in the main, it is a gendered violence, usually towards women, not always, but usually towards women. And two people got up to share their stories. And they're vastly different stories. They're both people who've grown up here in the Valley. And one of them shared about growing up in a dysfunctional family. And she was desperate for love. And she sought it wherever she could find it. And that a brutal man took advantage of that, a brutal older man, and she was in this horrible relationship where she was subjected to all kinds of things, all kinds of violence. Just a heartbreaking story. Now, by the grace of God, she found God. Right? She went along to church, and there she found love and acceptance, and her life story is completely different. And then another woman spoke, and her story was radically different. She grew up in a loving family with loving parents, loving siblings. And she married a man who she thought was a good man, and it turned out he wasn't. And one day he beat her so badly that the police came. And in the end, because the beating was so bad, that helped her, because it wasn't he said, she said. She went to hospital and he went to prison. Where is it, this anger? This anger. When angry people centre themselves in a story, in other people's story. The antidote to anger is humility. There's a challenge for us here, right? As God's people. There's a challenge for us to be people of humility, to be people of compassion, isn't there? That people should walk into this church and they should feel God's love. They should feel this is a good place. I'm safe here. I'm safe here. I'm valued here. People care about me here. We must bear witness to another way of living. We don't want to be Jonah, right? We don't want to be Jonah. We need the people who, through humility and through seeking God's heart, have opened ourselves up to God's compassion. We need to live out a better way. We need to be a community of humility and compassion, of goodness and of love. May we always, always be a people who in humility open our hearts to each other and to God.